God's people, let's take the scriptures once again and turn in them to the book of Exodus and chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. And this morning we're reading Exodus 19 verses 7 through 15. 7 through 15. And let's go first to the Lord in prayer. Ask for His blessing upon us. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for the great grace and mercy that You have shown to us in condescending to us and speaking to us. Father, we're thankful that You reveal Yourself to us and that You want to be worshipped and that You want us to worship You. Father, we're thankful also for Your Spirit who indwells our heart. We ask that You would give us clarity of what the Scriptures say. Give us understanding and knowledge, but also give us wisdom, that skill in living that we cannot have apart from You. Father, bless us now as we hear Your word. Shower us with Your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus 19 verse 7. These are the words of God. So Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever." And Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. The Lord also said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments, and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, 'Beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether beast or man, he shall not live. When the ram's horn sounds a long blast, they shall come up to the mountain.'" So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed their garments. He said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." That's God's word. Amen. So Yahweh has, in the first six verses, He's just made a covenant. He's just made a promise, a contract with Israel. And it's a gracious covenant. It's an administration of the covenant of grace, where He said, Deuteronomy chapter 29, "Therefore, keep the words of this covenant," the same covenant that's being talked about here, "keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, so that you may enter into the sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today, that He may establish you today as His people, and that He may be your God, as He promised you, and as He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." And He's promised that He will be Israel's God, and they will be His people, His own possession. And so Peter, because often some people look at the book of Exodus and say, "That's not for us." Now Peter in the New Testament, talking about the church, us, he shows that the covenant entered into with Israel by Yahweh in the first six verses of Exodus 19. And the covenant that Yahweh has entered into with His church today and with you is the same when he says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, the very same thing he said in verses 5 and 6. And so now that the covenant has been made, which we will see that there will be then given a rule for the covenant partakers who are already in covenant in chapters 20 and following. So the covenant's been made, and what we're about to see, he's preparing for that in our passage. What we're about to see, chapter 20 and onwards, is the rules for these covenant partakers. If you want to be part of God's people, these are the rules. The Ten Commandments, he's about to give them. But now having the covenant made, the people of God are being instructed in their preparation for meeting God. Meeting God for what? To worship Him. And in their worship, they're going to be receiving the Word of God, the Ten Commandments. But how do they prepare? That's what this passage is about. How do you, today in the church, it's the same thing. How do you prepare to meet with God? How do we prepare to meet on this, the Lord's Day, as we gather together in His holy worship? The Christian worship service is all of what we see here, but better. As we're shown in Hebrews 12, and maybe the next Lord's Day we'll see more about what it says in Hebrews 12. This is all to say that this occasion here, it's not just a historical study. We're not just studying history. We're not just studying what happened to Israel, of how Yahweh met with His people one time. We are that people. We are that people. We are the church with whom He has entered into covenant. If you've believed the gospel by faith, you've entered into that covenant. And we come to these assemblies that He is commanding them to be prepared for. And so for the preparation to meet God in His holy worship, we must first come with a submissive heart. We must first come with a submissive heart. A submissive heart is what is needed as we prepare ourselves for the worship of our God, Yahweh. His name, Yahweh. As we prepare through our worship for that final gathering of God's people and His eternal worship still yet to come. Verse 5. Yahweh has given them their stipulations. What is required of them? That they must obey His voice and keep His covenant, and they would be His own possession, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And what He's saying, as we heard last week, is you are to be My possession. You are to be My kingdom of priests. You are to be My holy nation. And that means you must be those things. You must obey and keep covenants. And that covenant, we heard, comes in the context of God's grace, His redeeming and saving them. The elders, as Moses would communicate this, then go through all the nation of all the tribes and communicate all the words Yahweh had spoken to them. Verse 7. So Moses came, called the elders of the people, and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Now there appears to be some missing information there. Earthly speaking, in our minds, there ought to be some missing information there. Verse 5, Yahweh has come to Israel, He's redeemed them, He's saved them, He's shown them His grace, and He said, now then, if you obey My voice and keep My covenant. But He hasn't told them all the details yet of what obeying His voice requires. Nor has everything involved in keeping His covenant been told to them. If you do a list of things that are to be named later, is what He's saying, then I will. And He gives a list of what He's promising there for you will be named later. You'd be a fool, thinking in our day, You'd be a fool to sign a contract, which is kind of what a covenant is. You'd be a fool to sign a contract where it said your requirements and duties are to be named later in fulfilling this contract. In every case, you'd be a fool except one. And that would be if what was promised to you is so good that no matter what is going to be required of you for it, is worth it. What have the people seen Yahweh to be ever since Moses returned from Mount Sinai to Egypt, and how Yahweh has shown Himself to be superior to all the gods of Egypt, but even superior to all those gods together? How Yahweh has shown Himself to be those who are in the wilderness who have no hope for any life. No hope for bread, no hope for water, no hope for meat, no hope for life or blessing whatsoever in their circumstances, in themselves. But if you have Yahweh, you'll receive the blessings. If you have God, if you have Jesus, you'll receive the blessings. It is that God, Yahweh, who has said, "If you will indeed obey My voice and keep My covenant, you will be My treasured possession. You shall be to Me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." Obligations that I'll give to you later that are required of you as My possession, as My priest, as My holy nation. And yet the details aren't given. Not yet. And all the people answered together and said what? "All that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Jesus spoke of this. The man who found the pearl of great price, selling all that he had to buy the field with that pearl in it. That's what Israel's doing here. Yahweh is the treasure that is worth anything and everything, no matter what it means to get it. And so the one who has found Yahweh to be like that, to be everything, comes with a heart that says, "All that God says, I will do." And you begin seeing more and more of how this is an administration of the covenant of grace. Because what is required of God's people to attain the reward isn't works. There's nothing that you can merit to gain the reward or blessing. It's faith. Faith in the Lord. Faith in the promises. Faith in trusting all of your being to the God who has come down and made this covenant with His people. Yes, all that Yahweh says. Yes, I will do that. Whatever it be. We will do it. There's one of the important ways of preparing to meet the living and true God in holy worship. As we get ready and we come to hear His Word, we open His Word up together as we're doing right now, and we hear not just who God is, and not just hearing who the Lord has made us to be in relationship with Him, and not just what Yahweh has done for us, not just hearing of His promises, but we come also to hear the obligations that the Lord has laid upon us. And yes, obligations that have been met in Christ, fulfilled by Christ in such a way that our sin and our failure, if we believe and have faith in the gospel, our failure cannot be held against us. For we have all been punished in Him at His death on the cross. Yet obligations nonetheless that we love to do because we count Him more worthy, worth more than everything else. And so we come with our hearts prepared to be what? Submissive. Whatever Yahweh speaks in this time, in His holy worship, whatever He says, I will do. But not just individually submissive. This is a corporate submission. All the people answered together. They answered in unity. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's one of the great things that sets public worship, the gathering of all of God's people, above and beyond private worship, what we do in our homes, in reading our Bibles and being with our families and studying the Scriptures together. So at the end of the praying of God's Word and the end of singing God's Word and the end of hearing God's Word, even the glorious benediction at the end of our worship that God pronounces the blessing upon us, we respond with together, Amen. Truly, Lord, we believe, Lord. If it's a command, Amen, we submit. And we will do that, Lord, in Christ's righteousness. And that's why we have the corporate Amen. Beloved, our hope for blessing lies in the Lord alone, which Israel and we receive by faith alone in Christ alone. And so let us submit ourselves and fall down before Him. Salvation is not by works that we do or keeping the Ten Commandments. Salvation is in Christ alone. And because He's given you Christ and you've believed in Christ, He says, here are my commands. This is what it is. This is what it means to be my holy possession, my priesthood, and my nation. Here Israel outwardly and externally professed that faith. Whether it was true saving faith is yet to be seen. But they outwardly professed it. Yes, I believe. Yes, all that you say, we will do. And so we have to ask ourselves if we are truly preparing for worship by submitting to the Lord in our preparation. In our preparation, not just sitting here, but when we prepare to worship, are we resolved in our minds, in our hearts, whatever the Lord will say in His holy worship, I will do. And we will do as God's people. Are we being changed in our faith? Is it growing? Is our faith growing? And as we continually hear more and more, is our doctrine growing more and more in line with the Scriptures? And is our doctrine, as our doctrine is growing, are we being transformed by what that new doctrine that we're continually believing or growing in? Are we being transformed in those, with those doctrines of what the Lord requires of us? And what great preparation this is, as we will soon come to Exodus 20. And in some ways we get to the Ten Commandments. Or when we do, we might be tempted like Israel and say, well, these things I cannot do. If you're in Christ, that is not how we respond. Our response is, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And we're resolved right now that we will do them. And of course we know we cannot do them apart from Christ. But all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And that's what Israel's doing here, is they're preparing to hear God's commands, the law. All that you have said, we will do. And at the outset, no, right now, it is more than you thought it was, it's more than you thought was required of you when you first believed. And so every time we hear the Ten Commandments, every time we hear more of God's Word, as we go through, and we're going through Acts, we're going through Matthew, we're going through Jeremiah, it's always more than when you first believed. It's always more that's required of you. Because you see more of your sin. And you see more of the glory of God. And more of who He is. And then, of course, what we are to be. And yet here is the Word, and it does not change. That's the great, just by His, what it seems like is just a book, an earthly book, and yet we can never fully comprehend it. And this is not even close to being the whole, complete mind of God. For that is infinite. It cannot be contained in words. And yet thankfully He's revealed us this. But His Word does not change. Thankfully, we are being transformed into His image and His glory. A submissive heart is required in preparation for worship, in preparation for meeting Yahweh. Brothers and sisters, we have a great God who promises us infinite blessing. And at the outset, when we're preparing to come to worship, Saturdays, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, let us submit our hearts to whatever He will say to us and require of us. Second, we need in our preparation an expectant heart. An expectant heart is what is needed in preparation for His holy worship, for meeting Yahweh. You might say that these Israelites have the Lord leading them in the pillar of fire, the pillar of cloud. And so what do you mean prepare to meet God when Yahweh is always being with them? He's always with them in the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. He's always there. And He uses the word, even in verse 9, for the pillar of cloud. But He also uses another word for cloud. And the two of them together, we have thick cloud. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud, so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever." And Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Yahweh is saying here, I've been manifesting my presence to you. You've seen it. I've been leading you through the wilderness thus far. I've led you to this mountain. I've been making myself known. But now I'm going to do so in a more intense way. That's very similar to us in the church. There's some who will say, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to the public gatherings of God's people in the congregation when they have worship. Because they say they can experience the presence of God at home or in creation. And of course, that's true. You can experience God's presence there. God's presence is in your soul and your heart by the Holy Spirit, and God's you can see His glory in creation. Of course you can. And yet Yahweh presents Himself in a special way. We would say a holy way because it's set apart. A special way in the public gatherings of His worship, even though they're already seeing Him in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. And as for us, we already have Him in our hearts. He's saying He's going to upgrade that experience in this particular meeting. Behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak with you. Verse 10 says, the Lord also said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and let them be ready for the third day. So this promise is a 3-day promise. He doesn't just say, go tell the people I'm going to show up, and once you've told them, I'll show up. No, He creates an anticipation. There's an anticipation in our preparation for holy worship. He gives them things to do in preparation, partly to create that anticipation. He creates anticipation of what they will see. He creates anticipation of what they will hear. And then He gives them a 3-day time period. On the third day, He's going to come. Teaching them to be what? Expectant. Expect that He's going to come. And let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Teaching them. He's teaching them to be expectant of an increased experience of God. Teaching them to be expectant of a particular time. He's teaching them to be expectant of something that is greater than all of creation. And think about what He's saying here. How does the rest of creation get to the top of Mount Sinai? As Israelites are concerned, they have to go up, right? They have to go up. All of creation would have to go up. You have to climb. But how does Yahweh get to the top of Mount Sinai? And of course we acknowledge that He's Holy Spirit. He's not a, doesn't have a physical body. And it gives us this anthropomorphism. It's a picture of so we can grasp what's going on here. How does He get to the top of Mount Sinai? Does He go up? No, of course He doesn't go up. He comes down. Because He's above all creation. He is the Creator. He's greater than all of creation. And so surely when we come with a submissive heart, as we come to the public worship of God, as we meet specially holy with Him here, we also come with an expectant heart. Ask yourselves the question, do I expect that the living God will meet us in the Word, speak to us? Do I expect that this will be different than the experiences of the Lord that I have in other places, even as I privately have the Holy Spirit in my heart, if I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I convinced by the Lord that nothing can compare to the experiences I have right here in the united gathering of God's people on the Lord's Day to worship Him, even as we heard in a prayer meeting from Psalm 87? He likes... turn there, we can look at it together. Psalm 87, and verses 1 and 2. Verse 2 in Psalm 87, it says, "The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the other dwelling places of Jacob." He loves the temple. He's talking about the temple, of course. He loves the temple. He loves where God's people gather together more than all the dwelling places of Jacob, more than all our private homes where we have worship there. And do I come, another question, do I come preparing throughout the week, particularly perhaps on Saturdays and Sundays in the morning and afternoon, do we prepare to come and meet the One who is greater than all of the creation put together. To meet the Creator. Finally, the last point, a clean heart. A clean heart. That is what is needed, a clean heart in preparing to worship the Lord, to meet Yahweh. How can anyone come before the Lord? Before His throne in heaven, spiritually, now, with an unclean heart. For He is altogether holy and He cannot have sin in His presence. All of you who are here ought to know this, that you can't have a submissive heart if you are still leaning on your own will, on your own desires. You can't have an expectant heart if your heart is filled with idols which are still competing in your heart and mind for the for your affection that you really only owe to God. And the service and trust you owe to God and are to have completely in the Lord. And so because there are still those sin issues that we have to deal with, you need a clean heart in preparation for coming to meet Him. Again, Yahweh is completely other. He's not like man. He's Creator. He's also infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in His holiness, His righteousness. He's completely above and beyond all creation, even our own hearts. And He says, verse 12, "You shall set bounds for the people all around." Set up boundary markers, He's saying. And we might respond, well, all of the earth is the Lord's. And Yahweh says here, of course all the earth is mine. End of verse 5. He's just said, of course all the earth is mine. But I want to set up property lines for around Mount Sinai because this is going to be mine in a different way, a holy way, a set apart special way. Psalm 24 is saying this. He says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein." And then two verses later it says, "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in His holy place? And yet He just said everything is His. But it's the Lord who assigns greatness to a place, or more specialness to a place. It's already special because it's His, but it's more special. And He assigns that greatness to a place, thing, or action. The Lord assigns holiness to a place, thing, or action. So the hill in Psalm 24, the hill of all the others is holy in that time, in that place. Why? Because God says so. He's God. It's special compared to every other holy hill. John 4, Jesus telling the Samaritan woman, it's not on this mountain this mountain's not that important, first off. But there will be coming a time, in a short time, Jerusalem, earthly Zion, there's going to be a short time that Jerusalem will not be so special anymore. And He says God's moving the boundary markers around His what? Around His congregations, around His people where the Holy Spirit is in their hearts. He's moving the boundary markers around His congregations throughout the world. Around those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And here is Yahweh setting up boundary markers around His holy worship at Mount Sinai. And yet today there are people who don't see the distinction and they say, well, all of life is worship. Indeed it is. Of course it is. The earth is the Lord's and all that's in it. Of course it's all of life is worship. In that sense, it is holy. But He also says, who can ascend my holy hill? There's a specific time, there's a specific place, a specific circumstances. And He gives them specific regulations. He says, beware that you do not go up on the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. This is a holy place. More holy than all other places. Those regulations were not for the whole world. Or all the mountains, even all places, just because all was the Lord's. Well, then you could touch nothing, not even the air. Now He's setting His worship apart, His public worship apart, making it holy. And so He says, do not go near the mountain, do not touch the mountain. Make sure that if somebody does touch the mountain, you don't touch them. Because now they're unclean. And what do you do with that person who must be executed because they're unclean, because they disobeyed my voice? There's a particular way to do so. Don't touch them. End of verse 12, it says, whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether beast or man, he shall not live. And so just like Genesis, it's saying here, very literally, but he shall be stoned. But he shall be stoned or shot, whether beast or man, he shall not live. Very emphatic from the Lord. Boundary markers. Don't touch any who do touch the mountain. They shall die. And then He says, do your laundry. And that's what it says. Verse 10, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. Verse 14, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people and they washed their garments. Why? Were they having to do their laundry? Because Yahweh wants the clothes to look new or bright? No, that's not the point. Because if Yahweh is offended, this is the picture that He's putting in their minds. If Yahweh is offended by soiled garments, how much more is Yahweh offended by soiled hearts, unclean hearts? We're to cleanse not only the outside, but the inside. And yet constantly they are focusing on the external throughout the life of Israel, even in what we read this morning in Matthew. The Lord desires compassion, not sacrifice. In preparation for the public worship of the Lord throughout the week, particularly on Saturday, And then Lord's Day mornings, Lord's Day afternoons, are you confessing your sin and turning from it? Cleansing the heart in Christ. When you're doing your laundry, perhaps, this is a good way to remind yourselves of this. When you're doing your laundry through the week, are you being reminded of the necessity to cleanse your hearts? Because if you don't cleanse your hearts, who really cares about the clothes? Because in the nostrils of God, He can smell your hearts very clearly. Yahweh cares about your clothing because He cares about your hearts. And often your heart is reflected in your clothing. There's, of course, exceptions to that, but not always. Your heart often is reflected in your clothing. Verse 15. He said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman." And what is that? He's saying that what is about to happen in 3 days is so significant in the life of you as my people that those pleasures, those things commanded, those commanded necessities involving your wife or husband, abstain from her for 3 days. To focus your attention on me, Yahweh, my commands and my worship and my glory. In this particular case, abstain from them so you can focus on this particular meeting at Mount Sinai. And this teaches us a principle. In preparing for worship, what we're doing on Lord's Day mornings, afternoons, what you're doing Saturday evenings, Saturday during the day, how is that helping your heart and mind and body be prepared for Yahweh's worship? It must be helping, preparing for it. Because that's the most important thing. It is set apart. God's holy worship, this right now, is set apart from all other things. And all other things that you do. And so it must be helping prepare your soul and your heart for it. If it isn't, then should you be doing it? And so the Lord is saying here, the heart is important. And how can these people and how can we come dressed well enough to appear before an infinitely holy God and then worship Him? Only if they and only if you are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. As important as that is for Lord's Day worship, keep in mind, of course, Hebrews 3 and 4, that it teaches us that the Lord's days are also these gatherings that we have on the Lord's Day. They're looking forward to and preparing our hearts for the eternal Sabbath rest. And that our gatherings are moments of participation for that eternal assembly of the firstborn. To those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus and do appear in heaven in glory and perfect righteousness. When we are preparing for worship, we should be saying to ourselves, whatever I hear that is from Your Word, and so we have the Berean spirit, we have the going back to the search the Scriptures to make sure everything we heard right now is true from God. As we're preparing and saying to ourselves, whatever I hear that is from Your Word, I will believe it and I will obey it. And as we prepare, we ought to be expecting that what we will be entering into as we prepare for this time, what we'll be entering into is His most holy place before His very throne spiritually. With the angels. And that is a most holy place, a holy time, the holy way of meeting the Lord and experiencing His presence compared to all others, because the Lord has set this day and this time apart, and He tells us exactly what we are to do in this time. He set it apart. He's made it special. And as we prepare to meet Yahweh, we should be acknowledging even in prayer, Lord, it's not safe to meet with You. It's not safe to meet with You except if I have Jesus who is my righteousness. If I don't have Jesus who is my righteousness, who's there at the right hand of you right now, pleading for me, if I don't have that, then I will die. We need His righteousness. We need His sacrifice covering our sins and cleansing us of our sins, turning away the Lord's wrath from our sins. And so please, Lord, receive me in worship this day and the rest of Your people too, through Your Son, through His righteousness, through His cross. A day coming which we should have great expectation of, when we will meet face to face with the Lord God Almighty. And for that meeting, you must have what? You must have that righteousness of Jesus Christ. You must have His sacrifice paying the price for your sins. So that it will be then that you speak like verse 8, not all that the Lord has spoken we will do. At that time, in eternity, we'll be saying all that the Lord has spoken, I or we have done. And we've done it in Christ. And because of Jesus, in Jesus, you can expect with 100% certainty to be Yahweh's own possession. A kingdom of priests to Yahweh and a holy nation. And because of Jesus, you can receive all the commands of God, not merely as obligations that are laid before you and upon you, and so eagerly seek to do them, because they're not burdens but blessings. But as promises of what you shall be at the last, when He has made you like He is. And that is what we look forward to. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your holy worship. We believe and confess, profess together that Your holy worship is above and beyond all that we could ever imagine. It is wholly other than we who are in sin still, who have remaining sin. And yet, Father, we're thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who by His blood makes a way into the Holy of Holies, Your very throne room. And that means, as Your people here on this earth, that we must prepare. We must prepare to meet with You, and resolving to submit to You in all things, whatever we hear. To be expecting great things. Because You are the Lord and You're above all. And Lord, in this may we rely upon the righteousness of Christ. That we would be quick to turn from our sin and seek forgiveness from You. Apart from You, we can do nothing. We cannot even worship. We, apart from You, would die. In Your holy presence. And so, Father, we ask that You would see us in Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.